You're right there, Tracy.
I hate that when, you know, like, beat the intro. And well, I know the song and I can't remember the name.
Yeah, it's very famous, I'm sure. Anyway, if you do know, it's 51552 with your name and address, right?
I'll be out the door.
All right. By the way, this afternoon, that's why Tracy is here, about a quarter past four direction, the country's going to come to a standstill. 39 horses and their jockeys await starters' orders for this year's Aintree Grand National. The Grand National is one of those races that everybody gets caught up in. 20 pages, it said there in the ad just before the break and the start this morning. Anyway, no matter what your knowledge of horse racing actually is, and that's where I come in because I don't really know anything. Anyway, you might not even know one end of a horse from the other, and I'd be in that line, all right, but you probably still partake in the office sweep or pore over all the gibberish on the racing pages of a newspaper before putting your annual €1 bet. But if you want to show off a bit and sound like you know what you're talking about, this is where you come in, Tracy, in front of your family or your friends this afternoon before the horses get going, then we've got the perfect person to help you out. The woman who knows everything about horse racing, and we'll be presenting RT's coverage of the Grand National on TV this afternoon. Welcome, Tracy Biggett.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Lovely to be here.
Yeah, Tracy, let's just start at this one here, because your family were just kind of vaguely mentioning that.
I was impressed, Dave, that you knew this.
I knew a few things which I'm impressed by. We can get to that later. I just want to think about your connection to the Aintree Grand National. Your great grandfather and grandfather had success in the event on some level. What was it exactly?
Yeah, so Ernie, who would be my great grandfather on my father's
Ernie
side.
Piggott. Ernie Piggott. Fantastic name.
Ernie Piggott. He won on a horse called Jerry M in 1912. And then in 1918, he won on a horse called Postland. And it was run at Gatwick Airport because Aintree was used as a war office then, because as most people know, the Great War was on in 1918. And then he came back in 1919 and won it again on the same horse, Purslin. So there's a nice story there. And then my grandfather, my father's father, Keith, he trained Ayala, and you knew this, which is really cool, in 1963. And he was named after a bottle of champagne.
Really? Ayala, as I remember it.
And he was 66-1.
Really, 66-1. By the way, just as a matter of interest, I have his name written down here. It's Ernest Piggott.
Ernest.
No, that's not as good as Ernie.
No, we didn't, because
Uncle
he was
Ernie.
Dead before I came along, but
did he
the
drive
family
the fastest
called
milk cart in the West?
I don't know about that, but he was a good guy anyway, so I'm told.
The Grand National, it's been going for hundreds of years, if they can be involved that long ago. Why is it such a big deal?
I think because it's unique. The toughest fences in the world. You've got obstacles like the Chair and Beecher's Brook, and they've all got wonderful sort of history and stories behind them. And even though they've shortened the distance a little bit, they're still going 4+ miles, two circuits over these amazing obstacles. And it's just such a spectacle. I think it just captures the imagination. The first one in 1839 was run over turnip fields, and it had a big stone wall, and then it's kind of, you know, gone on since then and slightly changed. But there, you know, there are people, and there were people who were worried about the safety of horses, and that has been looked at, and things have improved. In fact, the actual fences are made of it all comes from the Lake District, spruce from the Lake District, but they've made them softer so that if a horse bangs them, they're not going to hurt themselves so much. So I think for a number of reasons, it's just one of those. It's a bit like the Melbourne Cup in Australia. It's just caught the imagination, everyone stops and has a little flutter or a sweepstake on the Grand National.
When I said earlier on, if you want to show off and sound like you know what you're talking about, already I have a fascinating information to say.
Well,
to
you didn't know about the turnip fields, did you?
No, I did not know about the turnip fields. I did know about, the Chair and the canal turn and Beecher's Brook and all these. And one of the reasons, I mean, I have no interest in horse racing, I have to be honest, none whatsoever, or in betting or whatever, and I want to get to that in a second too. Mm-hmm. But my father was pretty much obsessed with all this for one major reason. If there was ever an Irish jockey or an Irish horse or an Irish trainer, he'd be jumping up down the place, and that's what it was all about. He wasn't necessarily a betting man, and an awful lot of it is stuck in the back of my brain. Names of horses like Ayala or Fine Avon.
Oh, I know.
When I was in short pants,
and everybody's heard of that.
Yeah, because what happened? That was 67, and what happened exactly? Every horse fell, didn't they?
Yes, and this horse was not expected to have any chance at all, and all the rest of them fell. So, and then there was the wonderful one. Where the horse jumped over the shadow and sort of did the splits. But there's also, you know, wonderful fairy tales. And of course, today, the ultimate fairy tale would be A.P. McCoy winning on Shut the Front Door, who's favourite, not surprisingly. But, you know, remember Old Aniti and, you know, the wonderful story behind that. You know, the guy that rode him, wonderful man, he was, you know, diagnosed with cancer and he ended up winning. They made a film out of it.
And he had a great surname.
It was, yes, and I've gone completely
Bob
blank.
Champion.
Oh, Bob, yes. Yeah. I met him in Brian Waiter as Newmarket two weeks ago.
I saw the movie.
Yeah. And he looks fantastic.
Does he?
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
And good old Bob and old Neaty. But there always seems to be a fairy tale ending in the Grand National. And of course, if Nina could do it today, you know, she'd be the very first female to ever
win.
Okay, hold
on. Take us back there for a second. If you want to do 5-1, 5-5-2, by the way, it's now 8 minutes past 11. Yeah. I know where people are going to come in and say, who's your tip for the day?
Sticking a pin is kind of handy, but you can get a sort of feel for a number of them.
My mother used to do a statue of Blessed Martin or Saint Martin.
That's
never
a good
worked.
Idea.
I don't think he's an equine kind of guy. Listen, just before I go any further, hold on, let's go back on a few things you've said there. What's the name of the female you mentioned? The jockey?
Nina Carberry.
Nina Carberry.
Of course, she's won the Irish Grand National. So has Katie Walsh. Yeah. She only won there recently, but Nina is from steeped in racing.
The Carberry
expertise,
family.
And of course, the Carberry family. Her brother Paul rides Cause of Causes, but she rides First Lieutenant for Mouse Morris, who, you know...
I don't even know what you're talking about. She rides...
Well, she gets on this horse.
Okay, it's the name is called First Lieutenant for somebody. Does that
the
mean the owner?
The called Mouse
Morris. Oh, the
Morris.
Trainer?
Yes.
Not the owner,
necessarily. No.
Okay,
the trainer is called Mouse Morris, and
you have to go slower with this.
He's owned by none other than Michael O'Leary from Ryanair, who has a wonderful amount of horses.
Well, hold on. I just did a little bit of looking up there a few minutes ago while that song was playing. I can tell you, do you know this one here?
Which?
The favourite in 1968.
No, I didn't.
Okay. It's called Different Class. You know who owned Different Class? No, it wasn't Jimmy McGee or it wasn't Maradona. Gregory Peck.
No.
There you are. Hold on, I have another one. Hold on. The 94 winner.
Showing me up here.
Called Minnie Homer or something like that.
Oh, Minnie Homer. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I remember Minnie Homer. That sounded vaguely
Minnie
rude.
Homer.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. He, whatever the horse is, was owned by Freddie Starr.
Yes, I remember that. And he wore a very strange sort of sheepskin coat, very drunk,
Freddie Starr did? All right.
Oh, yeah, not the horse.
Did he eat a hamster afterwards?
No, he didn't. He'd done that before. Oh, God, poor old Freddie.
Okay, go back a bit. Hold on a second. What a friend for the last few years, who I think won in 2011, 2013, is that possible? I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea if I've done that bit.
What
down.
A friend, yeah.
Do you know
who
co-owns that? Alex Ferguson.
That is correct, yes.
See, these are things you need to know to impress people this afternoon.
And he had great success on the flat as well with a very good horse, so... He loves his racing.
Great success on the flat. That's the one without the jumps.
That's the one without the jumps.
Okay,
yes.
Now, the headline of the Irish Daily Star this morning is "Shut the Punt Door." Basically, they don't want Irish people going for McCoy. Tell me about him and why he's so. What's the?
But
whole
everybody's going to have a few quid on McCoy because this would be the ultimate fairy tale. Tony McCoy has been the leading champion jump jockey for 2 decades. He's the most professional sportsman I've ever come across. If you think that, you know, jump racing is the only sport where you're followed around every day by an ambulance. He's been broken up so many times. He's as tough as nails. He's a freak of nature, really, because he's had to battle with his weight terribly for years since he started riding. And he's never been overweight. He's never really missed very much racing, only due to, you know, injuries, but he never missed a season. He's been very fortunate in that way. And he's come back again and again from horrific looking injuries and just is the ultimate professional and so, so talented. So he was retained, which means JP McManus sort of asked him to specifically ride his own horses about 10 years ago, and they've had a great partnership together. So JP McManus, who I'm sure everybody's heard of, the great JP, he owns Shut the Front Door, and he's trained by Jonjo O'Neill, and he's definitely not without his chance. You know, he's had good form, he's been laid out for this race, and I know they just love, you know, to see him come home in front, but nobody's going to let him, you know. There's no favours here, so they'll all be battling together.
Stage.
But anything can happen, Dave. You know, you can get knocked down, you can get bumped into. Yesterday I was watching Liverpool and a loose horse kind of doubled back and went heading straight in towards horses coming towards them and caused mayhem. So anything can happen.
Okay, but as you say, the jumps are the biggest around, and it's nearly 7 kilometres or whatever it happens to be. And Beecher's Brook, famous the world over. But
2.25 times 2.
Okay, right. Okay, now you mentioned the horse there. Why don't you shut the front door? Yeah. I have to ask at this stage, why the ridiculously stupid, nonsensical names for horses? I mean, seriously. You get this guy seriously reading out something and he just says the most ridiculous things and realise they're the names of the horses.
Well, you know, usually. really, it's something to do with the sire and the dam, which is the father and the mother. Now, the sire is called Accordion and the mother is called Hurricane Girl. Well, maybe you have to shut the front door if it's very windy, Hurricane Girl. But that's usually how it works. Now, if you're talking about Arabone horses, that's completely different. In the, if, you know, the Araboners who own a lot of horses on the flat, the ones not over the jumps, then they have very strange names in Arabic and you can't figure it out at all. But a lot of these, you know, often they use the combination of the father's name and the mother's name and come up with something clever. And I'm looking as I talk to you to find one that's really clever.
The 39 horses.
Yeah, yeah. There's like the Rainbow Hunter is by Rainbow High and out of... I haven't got my glasses on.
Oh, they give that stuff in brackets, do they? Yeah, like,
oh, underneath,
tell
you,
where
you
they
have
come
the mother
from,
and father's name, and that has a lot to do with it. You know, it could be a father with stamina
is
or a mother with speed.
Is that called studying the form?
That's not. No, studying the form is looking at how they've run previously, whereas looking at the mother and father is looking at their pedigree and how they've
read. Oh, studying their sex lives. Sorry, where was I?
With
the
I don't know.
I have a million questions that can be asked. Yeah, by the way, like we better get it established here for a younger audience who might know that your father was, of course, the legendary, and I like you couldn't be more legendary, Lester Piggott. And you jockeyed yourself a bit. Did you ever wish you had the chance to ride in the Grand National? Are you happy to be working in a different capacity by covering it for TV? Seriously, I mean, you've just mentioned the Carberry person. What's the Carberry person's Christian name?
Nina. And her brother Paul is riding, and he's not without a chance either on Cause of Causes for Gordon Elliott. Who's
and Katie Walsh, by the way, came third in 2012.
She did.
She was the first female placed.
Fantastic race, yes. Right. And she won the Irish Grand National there the other day. Now, she's not in today's race, but Nina is flying the flag for the ladies. And, gosh, it'd be absolutely amazing. But I won... a flat race in 1988 at Leopardstown, and my sister was the one who was big into jumping and eventing. I just liked going very, very fast on the flat, so wouldn't be great into the jumps. So,
but when you left school, you went to the USA to to train for 3 years or something?
No, I Why did I run away? I didn't quite run away from home, but I just decided I needed to travel. So I got myself a job in California leading up 2-year-olds for the sales, which is a kind of a thing that you do when you start off. And then I moved across town to Santa Anita, which is a big racetrack where they... See, it's different in America. They train on the track, whereas here and in England, they have private stables around the country and you drive to the race courses. Anyway, so I did... I rode maybe 10 horses a morning, every morning for various trainers over there. And it was a great experience. Learned a lot. And... weather was good.
The weather was good. Yes. Yeah, fair enough. And would you been part of the Kentucky Derby? I see Kentucky, it says here. It says Florida, Kentucky, New York.
Yeah,
and
I worked in Kentucky for a while in Lexington. And that's the home of the Kentucky Derby. So it's a great place.
Is the Kentucky Derby that big, is it?
Huge.
It's mentioned in the Rolling Stones song, Dead Flowers, so it must be cool. There's one here that says, don't mind St. Martin, St. Hippolytus, is it? Is the patron saint of horses. Did you know St. Hippolytus is the patron saint of horses?
No, I didn't.
Well, you do now.
I'm
so
not
you're
even
learning
pretend
something
I
too.
Did. I'm learning a lot today.
So get on to him for a tip.
I like that.
Get on to him for a tip. So you do like covering it for television and all of this.
I love it. No, I'm lucky. It's a great job and you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. And so it can never become mundane. It's a great job.
And your first broadcast was around at the very end of the 80s for the Derby at the Curra.
Yes, 25 years ago.
Just for those who don't know, the Derby is the one without the jumps.
That is correct. The end of June at the Curra. No, so it's a great, it's a great meeting.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. Okay. The nitty gritty then of horse racing, and what those of us who really haven't got a clue need to know to bluff our way through the Grand National this afternoon. It's at 4:15 or any big horse race. Is it wrong to pick a horse because you like the name or he's wearing your lucky number?
In a race like the Grand National, no, because as I say, anything can happen. You can be on the best horse and get brought down. So really, the form a lot of the time can go out the window. I think if you look for something that can jump adequately, who keeps his head together and stays, and then after that, and a lot of those in this race do that, and then after that, yes, pick your favourite number or colour or name, because it really is a lottery. We call a lot of races a lottery, but this really is a lottery. There's a few that I like, just for people that might not know, and I want to put a word out for Robbie McNamara. He had a horrible, horrible fall yesterday at Wexford, was taken to hospital, and I really hope he's okay. Andy Mack, his brother's going to be in with us later in studio, but he was to ride Lord Windermere, number one, who carries top weight, which means he has the most weight to carry on his back. So he's now ridden by Brian O'Connell and not poor Robbie. And then you've got the youngest rider today is a guy called Sean Bone. He's 17. He's riding number 13, Nonpareil. And then As I mentioned earlier, I do like the chances of cause of causes. Gordon Elliott's horses are on fire. And another interesting one, Sam Whaley-Cohen, who won the race yesterday, the Topham Chase, which is another race over the same fences as the National. He holds the record for riding the most winners over the National fences, but he's never won the actual National.
All right, right.
Okay, he rides Oscar Time, who's 14.
But do the fences not get a bit damaged, like if they start?
Well, they have an amazing team. I mean, they start building them a month beforehand, but you know, last night they'd be going around till all hours fixing them and making sure they're
all right.
Okay.
There's one here about which I know, Tommy Carberry, Paul and Nina's dad, won the race on the Scargo and also won the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
And he trained, of course, Bobby Joe to win for his son Paul.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, fair enough. I didn't know this other stuff.
I'm trying to teach you something as well.
I know, that's what I want to know.
Good facts,
now, listen, by the way, you have the racing page open there, and it's fantastically colourful and all the rest. We're from one of the newspapers today.
With this, the Racing Post, of course.
Oh, sorry, that's the Racing Post. That's the special racing thing. Yeah,
it's, right. And because they have the colours, but actually, every paper, I flew in this morning from the UK, and
obviously.
Fantastic coverage.
Now, look, there's numbers and letters everywhere. So, like, amongst the form is the previous stuff they did in races and where they came and all the rest. Does it say the going is hard or soft or medium or large?
It does. The going is good to soft, and it didn't look too bad at all yesterday. They weren't kicking up very much. So I'd say it's perfect racing ground. They did a bit of watering last night.
And it tells you who the owner is, the mum and dad is.
Yes,
and
the jockey,
what else?
The trainer,
the jockey,
trainer, whether they're male or female, both.
Right.
Well, no, actually, it doesn't say whether the jockey's male or female, but they usually put the full name of the, if it's a lady.
And will they say if the horse is male or female?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. BG is Bay Gelding.
Really?
Now you're going to ask me what Gelding is. Do not do that. No, it's not Bob Gelding.
Okay, so basically, like, a number from 1 to 9 will indicate the position that the horse finished in a race. If you're up past 9, they don't care.
No, it's usually a 0,
Okay, now, there's a number of letters which appear. F, what does that mean?
Fell.
Fair enough.
Unseated rider.
Oh, the horse kicked the rider off and he kept going.
Well, he sort of stopped and the rider kept going or something like that.
Yeah, you mean the horse kept going?
Happens to me a lot.
The horse kept going.
Horse stops and I just keep going.
Oh, the rider keeps going.
Yes.
Oh, the jump. Okay, what is good. I'm not going to ask this, but I'll have to. What does P mean? He didn't stop for a while.
That means he pulled up.
Oh, pulled up means he just gave up.
Yeah, he didn't stop for P.
I refuse to go any further. All right, I get you. Okay, fine.
That's what I'd do if I was a horse. I'd tell you.
What's R?
R. Oh my God, what is R? Where is R?
I don't know.
I can't see an R.
I've got an R here.
Well, it refused, I suppose.
Oh, refused.
Yeah, refused to jump.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it must be.
I'm laying my front paw down.
Yeah, I am not going to jump.
I am not jumping this jump.
It's a hoof.
It's a hoof. Sorry, front paw. Sorry.
Oh,
it's
God,
a hoof.
What's in
it
that
is a hoof.
Coffee of yours? Oh,
sorry.
My God.
Okay. What's B? Aha.
B is probably brought down.
All right.
By
another horse. All right. So even though you stopped, it wasn't your fault, basically.
So
if you brought it to the no claims court, you might win.
Well,
all right.
Very possibly.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And the small claims court. Okay.
Yeah.
Other symbols that are often frequently used are a dash.
Yes.
But you don't know what that means in this. I have no idea what that means.
Well, a dash is usually between the two. So if you've got sort of 1-1-2 and then a dash and then F-1-1, it means that last season he was first, second. And then then the break between the two seasons, he fell and was first.
All right, okay.
That
right, fine.
Sense.
Now, listen, we've got the names.
Nobody's going to remember this.
No, yeah, absolutely. They'll be playing it back on podcast until 4:15, which is, by the way, in 5 hours' time the race starts. It's now 22 minutes past 11.
We're talking, obviously,
here to the person who will be giving... You will be whatting this afternoon, exactly?
Well, I'll be presenting in the studio with the great Andrew McNamara, who is a very good jockey indeed, and Don McLean, who writes about racing and really does know everything.
He made a million this week, you know. He sold the lyrics for...
American
Pie.
Not that Don McLean.
Oh,
no, not that Don McLean. But he really is a complete aficionado. He's a journalist for the Sunday Times, isn't it?
I'll get
the Sunday Independent. For one of those, he's very good.
The one name that I remember all the time, and so much of horse racing brings me back to my dad all the time. He used to be just a few neighbours. What do you call the guy who takes in all the money? The bookie, is it?
Yeah.
Well, he's the bookie, and like the neighbours would give in, like,
brilliant.
The equivalent of, you know, like sort of like, you know, 5p or 20p or whatever, and he always won. Nobody's horse ever won that I can ever remember.
He always won.
He was the bookie, and like their horses
the
they booked.
Always.
Never ever won, you know. Because the St. Martin thing never worked for my mother.
But a lot of people will be doing that today, you know, amongst the family or group of friends, you know, just having a sweepstakes even, which I think we have here in RTE, so I don't know which horse I'll be getting. But it's that sort of a day. It's brilliant.
Yeah, well, by the way, if you have a question for Tracy, 51552 is our text. Why not? Don't worry, I won't give you I won't send in the hard ones. Anyway, where do we go here? Yes, I wanted to know, but you say, like, when you're looking down the form there, you have the colours and everything. I mean, what is it about the crazy colours and the silk shirts? I mean, like, golfers are bad enough.
They are, but this is very different because you have to register your colours, and I don't think you can design new colours anymore. There's existing colours and you can claim them yourself. So, for instance, Michael O'Leary, who runs under the name Jigginstown House Stud, his a maroon with a white star on the back and sort of white stripes around the rings around the arm. So as soon as you see a horse coming towards you with a jockey, you know straight away. And then you've got JPs, who are really distinctive with the green and yellow stripes. And it just gives you an opportunity to know, you know, who owns these horses. And like Jigginstown and JP's horses aren't really firing at the moment. So, you know, it's just... And it's very nice if you are an owner. You kind of look at your colours and you know they're yours. So
and colours are decided by the horse's owner?
Yes.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
But as I say, you really have to pick ones that are already existing in the turf club, and that's where you get your colours when you register as an owner. Very complicated stuff.
Why are jockeys so small? This is like a joke, I'm going to tell. Is there a height restriction? Do they really
No,
eat?
And I
do
mean,
they eat
poor Robbie had his fall yesterday, 6'3", and Joseph O'Brien, flat jockey, he's 6 foot, just about 6 foot, and... Yeah, so there is no height restriction, but obviously there's a weight restriction, and that's where the trouble is. You have to really, you know, waist very hard when you're tall because, for instance, my father was riding 2 stone below his natural body weight for all his career. So it's tough, you know, it's very tough.
And all his career, just tell me about Lester Piggott, just his career as you know it in a sort of a postage stamp 30-second way.
Okay, he had his first ride at the age of, at the age of 12, which is unheard of now, and... He won 9 derbies. The first one was when he was 18. He won over 5,000 races. He was champion jockey 11 times. He retired twice. His last time was 59 when he retired. So, pretty amazing. Great guy.
There's just an hour ago on the programme, I spoke to Steve Davis, the snooker guy, and I was has there ever been anybody more of a legend in terms of winning everything? Seriously, I mean, Lester Piggott, there is no bigger name in the history of this sport, is there, right around the world?
AP reminds him in that, you know, so disciplined, you know, just lives and breathes and eats the game and just that sort of tunnel vision and that hunger to win. And that was him, you know, and he sacrificed a lot, but that's what he aimed to do, gave a lot of people an awful lot of pleasure. And he's 80 this year, which I can't believe. And he's in great form, looks great, thank
Brilliant.
God.
And A.P. McCoy, you say, would be the nearest thing since
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't compare because jump racing is, although Daddy started, you know, he rode over hurdles, he rode a few winners over hurdles before he went flat. But it's a much harder game, the jump game, you know, it really is. And A.P. is just... out there on his own, and he will be really, really missed.
Do you know the funny thing about the what I mentioned about my father earlier on was one name I always remember. He always reminded me of my uncle. He looked the exact same whenever I saw him, and you didn't see him that often, you just heard his voice. And what a voice, Peter O'Sullivan.
Oh yeah,
he's the man.
He's 96.
Is and he still
my
going?
Dad, he's amazing. And my dad goes to could be 97 actually. My dad goes to visit him every time he comes over to England because my father lives in Switzerland now, and they're great, great friends. Peter used to pick my father up from the clock tower in Newmarket when he was a boy and drive him to the races, you know, so they've known each other forever. Lovely.
Because when you look at the Grand National, which of course everybody does, it's about the only race they probably would know, but like it's you know, somebody else takes over because they get so knackered still the first couple of
so
corners.
Many
and
things.
Now I hand over to Peter Sullivan. Peter Sullivan just went up a little bit slowly all the time when it came to the last furlong. Or whatever the hell you call it.
And he did his last one in 97 and I still miss his voice.
Yeah.
Oh, he's an amazing guy.
He was fantastic, yeah. Okay, now, here's another question that I want to know so I can amaze and baffle my friends at 4:15 this afternoon. Here goes. The going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. What is this business about the going and why does it matter? What is the going?
Okay, well, imagine if you're going out for a jog. Do you jog? I think.
No.
You don't jog?
I don't.
I thought you jogged. Anyway, you go out
Because I look so fabulous and slim.
Something like that. You're sitting down, I can't tell. But if you're going out for a jog or a walk and the ground is, you know, just normal and dry, you're going to feel pretty good, normal. But if it has been raining and you're going through sort of heavy, wet, soggy ground, you're going to get tired a lot quicker. So it's the same with horses. If the ground is good, good to soft, yeah, that means there's a bit of a sponginess in it, but it's not sort of deep, it's not yielding, which means it's even softer. So then you've got to have a lot more stamina as a horse to get through that sort of ground. Now, some horses love soft
ground.
That's
what I was going to say, some will be better than others, and would the people who put their money on horses know all this and study the form?
Yeah, that's a really important factor. If it's been pouring with rain for the last 3 days at Aintree and the ground is bottomless, then you're really going to just look at horses that like that. Now, fortunately, it hasn't been like that, and the ground is pretty much what we'd call perfect jumping ground.
Right, because it says here, look, I've got a thing here, there are seven grades of going, starting with heavy, very wet and soft, soft, good to soft, good to firm, firm and hard.
That's it. Yeah,
right, wow.
And you wouldn't want to fall off when it's hard, I can tell you.
Right, yeah, okay.
But
now,
I mean, if anything, it's probably a little, you know, it is on the good side today. Now, they have watered last night, so hopefully now, you know, you would like it to possibly be a little bit softer there today. But I'm told it's just nice. And there's fresh ground today for the Nationals. So, in other words, the horses haven't been...
Right.
Using, you know, there's a big stretch of ground that's completely fresh.
And the weather has been sunny over there. What's it like out there now?
It's
I can
nice.
Just see out the window. It's okay.
Fresh.
Not as good as the last few days. It's fresh,
and
isn't
sunny.
It?
Sunny.
Right, okay,
yes.
Fair enough. Now, where was I going? Yeah, now the gambling bit. Mm-hmm. Would people be as interested in horse racing at all, do you think, if there wasn't gambling associated with it to the point where the two are inextricably linked?
That's a very good question.
Thanks
something
very
I've
much.
Never thought about. I'm sure someone gave it to you, didn't they? Or did you think it up yourself?
It just came at the top of my head right now. Because I'm just thinking, like, it's all very well to watch horses going around, but I've been to two horse races, and they've both been, or horse race meetings, whatever you call them, meets, in the last, sorry, couple of years. I've never been before that. And I've got to be honest, I don't really think it would worry me if I never went again.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
I mean,
like,
it's
oh,
like,
look, there they go.
Some people love golf, some people love
absolutely.
Tennis, you know,
absolutely.
It's racing, driving, whatever.
But the betting is, and like this whole online betting stuff now, and
it's
on
huge,
your phone,
yeah.
It's just huge.
In my lifetime, I've seen a massive, massive change. And, you know, it has, it's completely different to how it used to be. And, yeah, I mean, they're both inextricably linked. But, I mean, I know a lot of people who absolutely love the game and don't bet. I mean,
yeah.
I very rarely bet, but I, you know, follow it and I love it. But I think, you know, there is a place for it. But again, it's like anything, you know, you've got to get a balance. I think there's some ad at the moment that they're running for Gambling Aware, which is quite good, you know, just sort of saying when the fun goes out of it, stop. You know what I mean? You
right
can get a bit carried away.
I mean, you can watch any soccer match, I mean, the sky's been like that at halftime, like, you know, Van Persie to score in the next 10 minutes, 6-1.
Yeah.
It's constantly pushing you to do whatever it is.
And if you're that way inclined, it's tough, you know?
Yeah,
it's there all the
absolutely.
Time.
There's a few here at 51552. We're talking to Tracy Piggott, by the way. It's 11:30. She's going to get back over to work big time now this afternoon. Oh, there's other races at Aintree, I presume, are there?
Yeah, we're doing two more apart from the National.
And,
but yeah, there's great racing this afternoon, through the whole afternoon.
Okay, Tracy is an absolute lady. This comes in from a very good friend of yours.
I sent that in.
I remember being in Temple Street Hospital 13 years ago with my 2-year-old daughter on Christmas morning, and she came in on her own, giving out gifts to all the 6 kids. Touch of class.
I remember that too. Thank you.
Very good. Here's one here, a question I don't know. Why do they start the National like they do? Why don't they use the stalls?
Well, most of all jump racing is stallless, I suppose you call it stallless. None of those National Hunt races are started through stalls. The one thing that'll be interesting today is that they've changed the rules about the starts in England. And I just think I don't particularly agree with them, as a lot of people here don't. So they have to walk in. And then if there is a... if there is a false start, the second time they line up, they have to stand still and start from a standstill. Whereas a lot of time over here, Joe Banahan, who's the starter here, he gets them all organised and they trot up to the tape. There's a tape that goes across the thing and then the tape's lifted and off they go. So it's, you know, there's been a lot of false starts at the beginning of this race. So this year particularly, it's going to be interesting to see how the start works.
Yeah, because I'm going to take you back now to 19... Hold on a second now. I've got to get the date right. I had a look at it 2 minutes ago. Damn it. Oh, yeah, 1993. The race that never was.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wasn't that the starting thing went all haywire?
I was working for the BBC, so I was covering that for the BBC at Aintree, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. And, Jenny Pittman got very upset. She was a top lady trainer in those days and not someone you would mess with now. And she got very angry with me because I said something that possibly wasn't 100% accurate. So,
what'd you say?
And I can't remember, but I know I was young and a bit sort of naive, and she got very angry with me. So I'll never forget that. But it was a weird day, a very weird day.
Because the thing started off, and some horses went, some didn't.
They so it became void,
Yeah, so they pulled the horses back to start again, but most of the people just kept racing.
Yeah, and thinking, oh, great, off we go.
And then guys came out in the pitch, or sorry, not the pitch. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, the track.
The guys came out in the track with red flags saying, go back, go back. And all the jockeys thought these guys were protesters.
Yeah, because there was a lot of that.
And they just kept doing the whole race.
Yes.
And they finished the whole race. And when you say void, did nobody win that year as such?
No, really? It was a void race. So the poor guy that finished first was all jumping up and down and thought he, you know, but he hadn't.
Wow.
Must be awful.
That's pretty weird.
Very weird. Mm. Yeah,
Peter O'Sullivan, what's this he called? The race that never was.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. All right, now, where am I? Just coming up to the end there. Okay, we're talking to Tracy. I'm going to let it go back over. There's so much I can do. The safety element that you mentioned, the height of the jumps, they've made them a lot safer now. Is it natural for horses to jump over things that big? I mean, are they well able for it?
Yeah, they are well able for it. Most of them are. Obviously, you know, when horses get tired, then, you know, you've an element of risk there. And again, as I talked about, when there's loose horses on the go, some of them run blind, some of them don't know what they're doing, they'll crash into other horses. So, you know, there's always going to be an element of danger, but they have addressed as much as they can the safety factor. They've lowered the height of the fences a little bit, and they've made the actual consistency of the fence is kinder to the horse, so if he bangs his leg or whatever, it's not going to be as solid as it used to be.
Right, and people can often find the whole gambling thing that I mentioned earlier on a bit daunting. All those different types of bets on the odds, should you take odds or go for the SP? I don't even know, what's SP, starting price?
The starting price.
Hey, I got that.
Yeah, I mean,
it all seems
it confuses me, believe me. Yeah. You know, I mean, the tote is great as well. There's so many options laid out that you pick up any of these papers and you look at it, and there's so many different options. One thing that was said to me, my grandfather said, you know, if you can hold that 10 or 20 euro note or five or whatever and throw it into the fire and watch it burn, then, you know, put it on a horse. I think you have to look at it like
okay,
that.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. All right. Then here's a very mean question. Why is horse racing so popular in this country? It's massive.
Yeah, it's horse racing and thoroughbreds, you know, particularly, and Ireland are just synonymous with each other. And all horses, really. I don't know what it is. And the success that Ireland has had in racing terms through the likes of Vincent O'Brien and now Aidan O'Brien, then you've got Dermot Weld, Jim Boulder, John Ox, worldwide is phenomenal for a country of its size. But when you look at then in breeding terms, which are the studs and the stallions and the mares, and you see, you know, what has been achieved on this island of Ireland in the breeding world, it's just recognised everywhere on the planet as the best there is. So I don't know. There's various different reasons. We've wonderful land here, wonderful nutritious grass, especially, you know, down the south. And it's just something that Ireland is brilliant at, you know, and it's something to be really proud of.
Okay, now I know you've mentioned a few things finally just earlier on in terms of who you might like to see do well and all the rest of it, how great it would be, etc. And Niamh Carberry and all the rest of it. But, and A.P. McCoy.
Yes.
I got the names right.
You did, well done.
But, just rather than your heart, if you were going to put money on for the bank balance, who might it be? Or is it just, as you say, you might as well just throw it anywhere?
I'd do a few, you see. That's what I usually do.
Oh, sorry, yeah. A place or a win?
Yeah. I'd put each way on Oscar Time, number 27, because, you know, as I say, Sam Whaley-Cohen is a genius around this course, and I think this horse has got the ingredients needed to go well. I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll go very close. And I kind of do have a feeling Shut the Front Door can do it, so I'm going to go with the rest.
Shut the Front Door can do it.
Well, I'm going to go with the rest of the population, and I'll put a bit on him as well.
Right. Okay.
And something tells me Cause of Causes with Paul Carberry on board, who is an amazing jockey. And
Cause of Causes. Okay, I'm writing all this down.
Are you?
Yeah,
just so you can throw it away. Don't listen to her. So yeah, those are the three that stand out for me. But you know, you can make a cause for another 10 of them.
Right.
There you
okay,
are,
I'm
for
sure
what it's
can.
Worth.
For what it's worth, indeed.
Yeah.
Is there a horse called For What It's Worth?
No, it would be a good name.
I understand that. Okay, well, listen, look, thank you very much indeed, Tracy. My major, horse racing story is, and this is a true story, in 1998 or thereabouts, the fourth or fifth most famous jockey in Britain, I can't remember his name, let's just say his name is John Smith,
okay.
And he had a sex change, completely true, and it says that John Smith has sex change, was in the sports thing of the Irish Times. The headline in the Star was, and they're off.
Oh, no. Thank you.